You see in the bulletin, we're starting a new series today, and it's called Case for Faith, and this is based on a book by Lee Strobel called The Case for Faith, and just really felt that the Holy Spirit wanted us to spend a few weeks just addressing some issues that, you know, we might have thought, we might have heard from others. The one today we're going to talk about, it's one of the first chapters in there. It's called, Since Evil and Suffering Exist, a Loving God Cannot. And does the presence of suffering necessarily mean the absence of God? There's a scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians. Apostle Paul wrote this. The letter to the Corinthians says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The word obedient there basically means that we're taking thoughts, and it's not just objection. This is just life. There's thoughts out there we have, and we're causing them to be obedient, taking them captive, and the word obedient means submission to Christ. If you know, Christ is the truth. So really what we're saying is we're making these thoughts that are against God and we're bringing them into submission to the truth. That this is really the truth. And as we know, as we heard in Scripture, the truth helps us be free. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, he also writes that the reality is we only know in part. He says we only see, we don't see clearly in 1 Corinthians 13. We're not going to fully understand. I know some have said, well, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to know it all. I thought, no, you're not. I said, there's only one who's going to always know it all. And my feelings is when you get to heaven, you're not going to care what you know. You're just going to be glad you're there. You know, it's like, hey, you're going to forget about all those questions. Like, whoa, you know, this is great. But so there is that point that we only know in part. And, you know, sometimes in life when we're going along, there's things we hit. You ever, there could be a rock in our road. You ever had a rock in your road? It could be a situation that comes up. Could be a health issue, financial issue, a relationship, a person, yourself, something that's happened in life. And the reality is we're probably going to face a lot of these that we go along. And some of them could be like this. Some of them could be a little bit bigger. And some of them could be really big. And we could have rocks in our road. And the big thing is with all this is, what do we do about it? What do we do with that? Because we have to make a choice what's going to happen in that time. There's a story in Romans chapter 4 about Abraham. And it says Abraham faced the fact. God gave him these promises, and then he told him, you're going to have a son. He had to face the fact that he was pretty old. This wasn't going to happen. He had a pretty big rock in his road. It was impossible. But the Bible says, but he was persuaded that God could do what he said. Even though Abraham couldn't do it, God could do it. Even though we might not be able to move these rocks, God could do it. One of the challenges when we hit these situations, which is something that all of us has to be careful of, is to allow bitterness to seep in. Because when we have the situation, things just aren't working out. Things just aren't. This is not what I thought was going to be. Then bitterness. And when bitterness comes in, the scripture says in Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up in us. Because bitterness, what it tends to do is cause hardness. And when we harden our hearts, our heart becomes hard, it's hard to hear from God. It's hard to know the truth. It's hard to walk in that freedom of all that. And Romans chapter 1 talks about what happens to people when they begin to harden their heart. And then as soon as hardness comes in, darkness follows. So it's the point when we have these challenges is, what do we do with this? What do we do when things don't make sense? Have you ever heard something that's just so ridiculous? It's like, that is so ridiculous. I mean, I can't believe anybody believes that. Well, and if you believe this, sorry, but I think it's so ridiculous. But the other day I was reading, and there was this astrophysicist, and he said he believes that there are trillions of alien robot probes out in a, did anybody see that article? Out in the atmosphere. NASA can't find them because they're so small. And the only time you see them is when they all cluster and they reflect some light. And that's where that's what the reason is that you see light reflection out there sometimes, because they're alien robot probes. I thought, I cannot believe this. Cannot believe somebody even believes that. Thought, you need to get a job for Pixar or Disney and make us. This would be a great movie. I thought, a sci-fi movie. You know, I thought, you've been watching too many sci-fis. But then I think, but that's the truth that person is living in. That's the reality of truth. I lived in that truth. I remember being at Ohio State in a philosophy class, and I don't remember how this came up, but the verse in Genesis 1:26 says, "And let us make man in our image." Well, I didn't know what the truth was based on that. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't have that revelation. I didn't understand that. And so we thought, well, you know, that could be extraterrestrial. I mean, that could be something. I will tell you one thing. If you're in a class, go ahead and speak out. If you're a Christian, go ahead and speak out, because so many Christians in these classes, I remember taking Ohio State, it helped me become a Christian. I mean, I listened to them. I thought, oh, that makes sense. You know, that's makes sense. So I was sitting there and we were talking and we talked about this, maybe what that could mean. Well, after the class, this other student came over to me and he goes, I appreciate people who listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prompted him to come over. I didn't know this guy from anything. And he came over to me and goes, hey, he goes, you know when you, that verse, and it says our, he goes, what that means is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As soon as he said that, I knew what this person just said was the truth. I could sense it. I thought, that's true. What you said was true. Now, I had to be willing to receive that. There's people being Jesus, the truth himself was standing there and people rejected him. So there is a point. But you know, one of the things I believe made that happen is because I had somebody praying for me. I had somebody praying for me that my heart would be sensitive to the truth. You know, that's a big, I just give you an idea. When you're praying for somebody to get saved, pray for them to receive the truth. Because they can hear all the gospel they want, but if they're not willing to receive it, if they're not willing to hear that, the truth of what the truth is, then they're not going to get saved. They're not going to receive that revelation. The other thing is realizing the devil is a deceiver. And without the truth, we don't know what's right. I mean, we look at these people, think, what are they thinking? But they don't have the truth. They're lost. But thank be to God, he promises, if you seek me, in Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me. You don't know the other side of that is, I thank God that he's seeking me more than I'm seeking him. I thank God that he is a good shepherd. As David said in Psalms 23, he's a good shepherd. And he's after me. And he chases me. It's a song we sang today. So what do we do when we hit those situations? Well, there's a scripture in Proverbs. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Now, as a Christian, if somebody knows that, that might be easy. What if I don't even know God? Why would I trust somebody I don't know? Why would I trust somebody with all my heart? Well, that's where we come in, because we represent him. And they might not know him, but they know us. And what we represent and how we live and how we treat ones is one of those things of how people could maybe enter into that truth and enter in the fact of trusting in God when they see him in their life. We don't know the whole story. In Isaiah 55, God said this. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Things happen in life, and then we build a story around it. We have our own storyboard. This situation happens, that situation happens, and we start trying to rationalize why. Why did that happen, God? Why is this situation going on? Why? What's going on here? And we can put all kinds of stuff in there. Here's just a little example of that. I'm going to give you little phrases, and you get to fill in the blanks of the story. So the first phrase is, they saw the fire. The next part of it is, as they leaped off the side. Next one is, they ran. The next two words was dead. The next part is, knowing that this was the end. The next part of it is, no one made it. And the last one is, everyone was gone. Now, I believe if I gave you a piece of paper, we'd have a couple hundred stories right now of all variety that we filled in, all that could be going on. So I'm going to tell you, here's what it is. They saw the fire they had made on the beach, knowing that as they leaped off the side of the dock, the water was going to be cold. So after swimming back to shore, they ran to the fire to get warm. While they were swimming to shore, they saw a fish floating. It was dead. Knowing that this was the end of summer camp, there was supposed to be a going away cake, but no one made it. By the end of the day, everyone was gone. That's probably a different story than what you had, wasn't it? But see, that's what we do sometimes with God, with life. We fill in all these gaps and all these information because we don't know the whole story. We don't know everything that's happening. We don't know all that's going on. In a book Dr. Dobson wrote, When God Doesn't Make Sense, he says a lot of times, yes, the pain and suffering there, but what really shreds our faith is confusion. Not knowing why, what is going on. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not a God of confusion, but he's a God of peace. And sometimes that understanding who he is, helps us go through those situations. In this book, Lee Strobel, he says, the only in a world where faith is difficult can faith exist. So there has to be some challenge to faith. The Bible defines faith as faith is, in Hebrews 11:1, is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. And on down a few more verses in verse 6 there in Hebrews 11, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, those two things which I've always really stood out to me. There's only two times that Jesus was amazed when he was on earth. Two times that it mentioned, and it all related to faith. One was when he was in his own village, and he said he was amazed at their lack of faith because they were so familiar with him. Who is this guy? I mean, this is just a carpenter's son. This is just so-and-so. I mean, I used to play ball with him. I know his mom and dad. This is Mary's son, which I've heard something this week that I thought was very interesting. They didn't say this was Joseph's son. They said this was Mary's son, which also related that he's illegitimate. He didn't have a real father. Who is this guy I think he is? And it says that Jesus was amazed. But the other time, he says, was a centurion. And the centurion says, you don't need to come. I don't deserve you to come to my house. Just say the word. And it happened. And it said, Jesus said, and the Bible says, he was amazed at his faith. So Jesus, if you want to amaze Jesus, have faith. Believe what he says. Believe what he's speaking to your heart. St. Augustine says, if there is no God, why is there so much good? If there is a God, why is there so much evil? Basically, that Christians believe in five things that we believe. There's a lot of things we believe, but God exists, God is all good, God is all powerful, God is all wise, and evil exists. If all these are true, it would seem evil. There should be no evil. So why? Why is there evil? One of these statements is false. You know, God is all powerful, but there are things he can't do. He cannot make himself cease to exist. He cannot make good evil. He can't make mistakes. The Bible says he cannot lie. The source of evil is not in God's power, but in our freedom. That's where it happens. You know, it's our nature. If you look in Genesis chapter 3, it's in the human nature to blame someone else. The very first thing, when there was a problem, what happened? It's in our sinful nature to blame somebody else. Eve blamed the serpent. Adam, he blamed his wife and God. Said, if you wouldn't have given me her, I wouldn't have done this. So it's in our nature for this to happen, for us to blame. But real love must have a choice. Real love has to have a choice. But with that choice, people can choose to hate. And we have that first example. You know, when God created everything, Genesis 1:31, you know what he said? He said, it is good. He looked at everything. This is even after mankind. He looked at everything he made. He said, this is good. So what happened? Free choice. We see what Adam and Eve did, but when we really see things starting to accelerate, we see Cain and Abel. They didn't have influence from social media. They didn't have influence from bad movies or songs or a bunch of people. They didn't have that. It was sin. Sinful nature in them caused Cain to rise up because he got jealous and in favor. He wanted favor from God and he didn't do things right. And so, you know, instead of taking responsibility, he blamed his brother, killed him. I just get rid of you. But that was a choice. So the sinful nature, the thing is that Jesus, if you read in the New Testament, especially Romans chapter 6, I would encourage you to read Romans chapter 6, says Jesus came to set us free, that we have a choice to not follow sin, but to follow righteousness, to follow after what God has called us to do. And the point of this world isn't just comfort. The point is, when we're in the world, is we're preparing for eternity. This is going to be I'm sure every one of you in the last probably minute has blinked. That's what our life here is compared to eternity. That blink. You probably don't even know you did it. But that's what happened. Compared to eternity, it's a blink. Apostle Paul said that if only in this life we have hope, we're to be pitied. Because there's so much more to life than what we have here. That doesn't mean that we don't enjoy this life. Jesus said, I came that you may have abundant life. I came to bless you, to love one another, to enjoy all. He created us for all that. But that's just a little glimpse of what we're going to get to be in the future. Sometimes you might say, well, why does God delay all this? Why is he delaying things happening in judgment? Because there's so many that's followed. And this is not scriptural, and it's just my personal opinion, but I base it on what I see in the scriptures. If he was willing to save Sodom and Gomorrah, said, if you found 10 people in this horrible, terrible place, because I won't destroy it. I believe the same thing when he looks at the earth. And I know this is my opinion, and I could be wrong. Have you ever been wrong? Yeah. It's probably just like yesterday, last week. But my opinion is, if God sees that there's hope and he sees somebody's following the clues, I don't see him coming and just... That's just my opinion. So, back on track here. The thing is that God didn't just allow sin to happen and stand back and go, see you guys. He stepped into our world through Jesus Christ. He constantly kept reaching out. He constantly was getting involved to help us. He constantly was a part of trying to help people in... I'll go back to that. Let's go to this. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. He is with us. This picture of the turtles, those couple turtles, where'd it go? There. Those two turtles, one says, sometimes I'd like to ask why God allows poverty, famine, and injustice when he could do something about it. The other turtle says, I'm afraid God might ask me that same question. because that's where the answer is. The answer is not a something, it's a someone. And it first came through Jesus Christ, but it also comes through us. If we want to change, it has to come through us. Corrie Ten Boom, I don't know if you know who she is. She said she suffered in a prison camp, walked with Jesus. It's a great book if you ever read her testimony. It says, no matter how deep our darkness, he is deeper still. You know, thing Jesus, when Jesus rose from the dead, he changed the definition of death. He changed it, the whole thing. Jesus is the explanation. He's the answer for what we're doing for. You know, when your world is being rocked by a situation, the last thing you need is theology or philosophy. What you need is the reality of Jesus Christ. We need him. We need the realness of him. So what gives us the right to remove the veil? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, there's a veil over our hearts. Just as there was a veil in the temple. And Jesus came to remove that. So we have access to God. He says there's a veil over our hearts. What gives you the right to remove the veil from somebody else's heart? And basically it's your love. Your love for them. It's not just trying to convince somebody or just trying to get a sticker or something that it's the fact that you love them. I so appreciate this week I was with a bunch of pastors and he was talking about how the gifts of the Spirit. He says, what should stir up the gifts of the Spirit? He goes, if you want gifts of the Spirit, you need to stir up love. Because those should all function out of love. Everything we do should function out of the love we have, the love for people. So how do we treat others? In 2 Corinthians or Colossians, it says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. If we could have a musician up here. Jesus said, but I say to you here, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And then Paul wrote to Timothy, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. I am so glad that student who walked across that, he was all the way on the other side of the classroom, didn't come over and said, you are so stupid. I mean, what's wrong with you? That's not what he did. He was very kind. And he asked me and started instructing me. I could feel he was for me. People could sense that. Don't think just because you got the Holy Spirit, people don't sense what's going on. People are very sensitive, and they'll know if you're just using them or do you really care and love for them. And he goes on, he says, that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. If we could go ahead and stand. You know, the reality is, you can read that whole book, and it still comes down to, are you willing to hear the truth? I know that there's people who have sat down with professors and theologians and PhDs and presented all the truth, so much of it. But if there's no sense of receptivity, but I believe the key to that receptivity comes from love. That is a key that opens people's heart, is that love and that persistent love. Continue that you're for them. Our vision statement here as a church is showing Jesus to our world. That's basically showing Jesus. What did Jesus show to us? The love of the Father. He came down. Are you willing to say, I'm willing to be, to fulfill that vision? Is that something you just lift your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to show Jesus to my world. Our mission statement of our church is come, grow, and go. The come is the sense that people feel welcome. That's what that Jesus, as God, just received me and all my stupidity and sin and irrationalness, all of that, he still received me. That's what we look for, that we are representative of that on earth. Just come. It doesn't mean if you have to believe everything I believe. This, the meeting we were in last night, the guy was talking about he got to be on a Skype with 500 Muslim basically leaders of the Muslim churches, imams, whatever they call them. And he said he got to share the love of Jesus with them. He got to share. They want to know about this. And they want to know, one of them was like, what is going on here inside of me? I feel the love of God. I can feel something happening in my life. What are you doing to me? While he was standing there reading the Quran, he was feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit come upon him. And then he asked him to go. He goes, will you share that with my family? And he did. He got on Skype with his whole family, and all of them, the presence of Jesus came into that. There's a revival going on out there. Don't be deceived to think, oh, there's nothing happening. God is moving. There's a lot of hearts being changed for him. But are you willing to be that sense of that welcoming heart to God? Like, come. If you're willing to that, would you just raise your hand up to him? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are, that you love us, God. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to step into our world, God. When we have the big boulders in our life, when we have things happen, Lord, you don't leave us alone, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom. You said a wise, in your word, Lord, you said a wise person wins souls. Help us, Lord, win through your love, God. Win ones. Help us open doors where one are trapped, Lord, in the deception of the devil. That we can help ones come into the truth, Lord. Come into that the blessing of you, God. The blessing of knowing you. The blessing of the abundant life you came to give us. The blessing of freedom, Lord. Of hope, of joy. We welcome you, God. As we just commission, as we just lifted our hands, Lord, and release a commissioning to each one, Lord, to go and show Jesus to our world. To show you, not rationalism, Lord, not arguments, God, but to show who you are, the person of Jesus Christ, of truth, of love to our world. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.